everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome to the Focus Podcast, where we talk about things that you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
I'm Jeevan Siebens, also known as John.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought you were Bill from accounting.
Oh no, I'm filling in for
it. Oh, you're filling in? Okay, that makes sense. Because see, HR never tells us about these things. They never tell us that like the new hires are going to start filling in for like the people that can't make it in. It's just kind of annoying, you know?
Yeah. I talked to them earlier about that, and they were like, well, it's just how we do things around here. I'm like, but it could be way more efficient. And they're like, we're not in the business of efficiency, so that's how that worked.
Yeah. Well, that kind of reminds me of the time where like I was talking to Paula in the HR, and I was like, yeah, so why are we doing all this garbage? It doesn't make any sense. And she's like, well, that's just how it works. And then I just called it an airstrike, because I'm like, I'm tired of this crap. Like, you know, I'm sick of it.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's basically the only thing you can do with that situation.
Right, yeah, I mean, because you can't hit a woman. That's unacceptable. But I can call it an airstrike, you know. It's just, that's how it works.
Right.
But jokes aside, I am Ethan, otherwise known as Flabzixy Gaming. You guys already probably knew that. We're knees deep into Season 2 at this point, so if you're new around here, welcome. But I would recommend you go listen to a lot of our other ones, so you can kind of get the feng shui of how this works. We of course start with small talk like we usually do. So John, what's been going on with you?
Not a whole lot. I went to a amusement park as well as a water park the other day, and that was fun because it was super hot that day. So once we got to the water park, it was quite nice.
Was it was it an outdoor water park or an indoor one?
It was an outdoor one, but it wasn't super busy, so there wasn't like huge lines for all the rides.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's fair.
Pretty good cool up.
The problem I have with outdoor ones is like, depending on how bad the sun is, I'm white as snow, so like I get burned in 30 minutes. So like, I tend to stick to indoor ones for that reason.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I did end up getting a sunburn on my neck, so.
That's fair, yeah. Because to me, like, people always compare sunburns and headaches. I'm like, I'd much rather have a headache than a sunburn. I can't sleep with a sunburn. I can't think with a sunburn. Like, I just can't do anything. With a headache, I know the thing is, oh, well, I can't think either. Which I can get around it. If it's a really bad headache, then yes, I can't really think that well. But I usually don't, knock on wood, I usually don't get headaches that much, so. But, yeah. As for me, lots of, this month's just been crazy, man. A lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff popped up recently, though. I'm not going to get into the bad stuff, because we're not here to talk about the doom and gloom. We're here to escape life. That's the whole point of the podcast. And to make fun of John having prune juice. That's the whole point. That's the two reasons we exist. Ignore the other reasons we've said in the past and countless other times. The two reasons is to escape reality and talk about John needing prune juice. Those are the only two reasons.
Yes. We thought about changing the name to... prune juice escapism, but we figured that was just a little too on the
nose, so. Prune juice pruners or something like something like that. But yeah, so I'm not gonna get into too much of the bad stuff, but it's about work related stuff if you care that much. But I'm not gonna get into it. Some of the good stuff though is we went to, there was a food festival, like it's the second biggest food festival in the world. Well, in the U.S., I think, not the world, that I went to. It was technically 2 weeks ago, but I don't think me and John did the podcast last week. So I don't think I've said this yet. And if I have, whatever. So I went to that. I did mention on the podcast already that I went to that barbecue, the men's barbecue thing. That was a lot of fun. This week I went to a So I volunteer at a place. I work the cameras and I work the live streams and stuff. And they have a team rally every summer for the people that like volunteer and stuff. It's like you go there, there's tons of free food. You get to hang out with everybody, play a couple of games and like that kind of thing. It's my ideal event because it's just a slow-paced event. You know, there's like obviously no alcohol or anything. There's desserts. There's tons of food, and then you get to just sit around and chat with everybody. And so that was this week. That was a ton of fun. I was so glad I went to that. Yeah, there's a couple things that I could say, but I'm going to choose to remain silent. I plead the fifth because they might pop up later. Because I think it'd be better to say them at a later date. But something might be happening on the horizon for me specifically. It won't involve John necessarily, but something definitely is happening with me coming up here pretty soon. And I don't know how soon, because it's still a work in progress. The idea is out there, but we gotta work stuff out. Be on the lookout though. Be on the lookout. But with that being said, and with that out of the way, John, I think you know what time it is. You know what time it is, John?
1:13.
No, it is time to watch the entire season of Lord of the Rings in this exact podcast episode. That's what we're doing here today. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a long one.
I was gonna say 24-hour podcast. Let's go. But no, we're not doing that, obviously, in case you couldn't tell that was a joke. But it's time to move into headlines, and I have a pretty very interesting headline for today. I actually had an original one until I scrolled past this earlier. So, Earth has been started spinning faster, causing days to become shorter. Now, again, this is by, like, the super minuscule degree. But because it's been happening over the course of human history, they're predicting by 2029 we will witness a second being deleted from the clock for the first time in human history. Now, first of all, that's crazy. Second of all, if that's true, we will live to see that. So that's insane. And like, a second being removed from clocks, like that just puts a hole in everything we've done. Like, you know, there's no, I mean, not necessarily, but it throws time off just a little bit. Because you lose a second, then you lose a second for every minute, you lose a second for every hour, like, you get the idea. So the entire structure would be kind of, not dismantled or crumbling or anything, but it'd be changed, just a little bit. But that's crazy that we'd get to live through that. I thought, like, because I knew the Earth was spinning a little bit faster, and I forget what caused it, but the Earth's axis also got shifted by a super minuscule degree, but I forgot what the reason was. I had to look that up again. Humans built something stupid big or whatever, and it like tilted the Earth's axis a little bit. I'm like, well, that makes me not worried at all for like giant scale projects they're trying to do. So, but I as you know on this podcast, I'm very fascinated by space and stuff like that. And so this is not necessarily space related, but it's about Earth, and Earth is in space. Last time I checked, anyway. So it's pretty interesting. But John, what did you know that? Do you find that interesting?
I don't know if I knew it, if it was something that I was, like, constantly thinking about. I think I had heard that, like, it's the rate of the, how quickly we spin was increasing, but I didn't know that it was going to be going to the point where in 2029 that it's going to actually alter how long the days are by a second, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's just... It's pretty interesting, and I wonder if, like, I don't know how long it'd be, but maybe it'd be, like, how long have humans been on Earth? 300 million years, or whatever it is? Is that right? That doesn't
sound like that.
I don't know, whatever time frame humans have been on Earth. It took this long to get rid of a second, so my guess is it's gonna take another, 300 million years, or whatever the time frame is, until there's another second. So it's not like we're never gonna even reach a minute before the Earth explodes, basically.
Right.
Or the sun explodes, some cosmic event ends, or whatever. But it's just interesting to think about, because like let's say we do lose a second, no one's gonna care. The world's gonna keep spinning, literally. The world's gonna keep moving on. Doesn't matter. So, but it's just interesting to think about. It's one of those like science facts. It's like, well, yeah. It doesn't directly affect me, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, it's kind of interesting, you know. But it's really not like, oh no, I'm gonna lose a whole second in my day. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. So that is I mean, it's just cool. It's a cool little space fact. And again, you know how I feel about space. So, yeah, that's the headline I got. I also do have another one I was going to do for last week, but obviously me and John didn't do the podcast, so I'm just going to put it in this one, too. Scientists have discovered a fungus in the Amazon rainforest that naturally consumes plastic and could help save the planet on plastic waste. Now, talk about something that is interesting and affects us. This one's it. So, they haven't given it a name yet, from what I can tell. And if they have, it's probably a stupid name that I can't pronounce. But it's like a red, like, tree-like fungus. Like, it has branches on itself, and it looks really creepy. It looks like a Cordyceps Last of Us type crap, but it eats plastic. It, like, naturally feeds on plastic. In fact, the video they showed is they showed a plastic water bottle, and they put the fungus on it. And it took 10 days to grow, but once it was fully grown, it started, like, just consuming the plastic, and all they left was the little bottle cap. So that's pretty interesting. And if we get enough of that fungus, we could just, I don't know if it can survive in water. They haven't said that just yet, because I was going to say most of the plastic's in the ocean, unfortunately. And so I wonder if we'd have to, like, throw this fungus into the ocean and be like, all right, guys, have at it. Have fun. Or if we'd have to, like, do a special, like, I don't know, like, a special program to get it to get in. Because some plastic's also on the bottom of the ocean floor. So, like, I don't know if there's anything we can do about that necessarily, unless we get, like, scoopers or something to get it. But the surface level stuff, you can probably just give it to, attach the fungus to it. And if it can do decently in water, then it'll be fine. And then we just let it stay in the water, and then boom, no, the plastic would still get in the water. Like, humans are still terrible, but at the same time, it would be eating some of it, so it would be sort of negating some of it, I think. I don't think it's going to change the world, right, necessarily, but I think it would help negate some of the bad effects. But, John, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that is actually really interesting, and I feel like if it could be more, like, widely spread, you could even, like, in the same way we have, like, recycling plants, it's like, oh, here's the plastic fungus plant. You just throw your plastic in a bag, and then we feed it to the fungus.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because, like, we haven't really found, besides, like, manual, like, stuff, like, we have these certain boats that can pick up trash and, like, that kind of thing, and those are always helpful, and they're going to continue to be so. But it's going to be nice to have something that's passive, that's, like, something that humans don't need to keep track of to keep it running. Because if we just keep, now obviously, because if it just feeds on plastic, that's fine. But if it runs out of plastic, is the fungus going to be smart enough to be like, all right, well, we're done with plastic, let's move on to this, see what this does. Like, so is it going to start eating everything?
Let's move on to humans.
Humans, let's create the Last of Us. Wait a minute. Because yeah, fungi are definitely fun guys, but they're also, kind of scary because they are pretty smart. They literally create underground networks for themselves. To communicate with each other. It's like, it's kind of creepy, man. It's nature's freaky. So, but these guys are like blood red, look like trees.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
They look terrifying. If you told me this was like the case number zero for like a Cordyceps virus, I'd be like, yep, I believe it. But luckily, from what I can tell and from what I've read, it only eats plastic right now. But like I said, does that mean they're going to be like, ooh, well, we ran out of plastic somehow. Let's move on to fish, because, you know, those got to die, you know. So, it's interesting nonetheless. And like I said, I don't think it's going to change the world necessarily, but it will be nice to have, like, a passive thing that would help the plastic pollution without humans having to go out in boats. And, like, because when we're asleep, who's doing it? You know what I mean? But the answer is this fungus could be doing it, so. All right. Well, with that being said, unless John had anything, but sometimes you have a creative showcase, but I don't think you really have a. You don't really keep up to date on the news side of things. So, but
I do not.
Can say you're welcome to say it, but I don't think you have one. So we're going to move on to a career showcase / email. Now, I do have an email this time because, like I said a couple episodes ago, I mentioned we're done with the whole situation bit. I moved on a long time ago, so I'm not going to be reading any. And I've already answered some of the questions that you guys have sent from emails. So I'm not going to be talking about it. So if there's an email that I get sent that's talking about the situation, I'm not going to read it, unfortunately. So if you wanted to just resend the email without that part of it in it, perfectly okay. I'll still see it. But just wanted to let you guys know again that that's why that's happening. But this one's from Joseph, which awesome name, by the way. I love the way you start this. I love the way you start this email. This is a great email. It's the best the world's ever seen. It's the way they started. It's hilarious. So they said, "Hello, bald man and game show guy." I love it. Great way to start an email. Great way to start an email. And John can't see this, but they put "bald man" in quotes, by the way. So I'm like, yes, they get the joke. I said, "I just found your podcast about a week ago, and I absolutely love it. My favorite episode is Wavelength because I love playing the game with friends. It's super fun and enjoyable to listen to. Can't read. It's enjoyable to listen to you guys play it. I can't speak. I listen, guys. I play Undertale and Deltarune. If you play either of those games, you just can never speak again. I don't know. It just rewires your brain. I don't know what to tell you. So that's a very short email, but it's a very nice email. So thank you, Joseph, for sending that in. Wavelength, very good choice for an episode. I mean, we actually just did a part 3 for us. John, did you get notifications about the episodes that go up or no?
I do not.
You're not even following your own podcast. Exposed. But regardless, want to know what I titled the Wavelength episode?
What?
So I titled it. Let's see. I know what it's. So I just gotta find it again. Because it's a because you know how I said I was gonna title it in response to, Kingdom Hearts stuff. So I titled it Wavelength HD Final Chapter Prologue Deluxe Edition. So then the description says, "This is the last time we do Wavelength." No, seriously, last time. So, that's what it's called. So we actually just did a part 3. So, Joseph, could you send this in 5 days ago? So that was before the episode went live. So hopefully you're listening to that one. That one's the last one we're going to be doing. Because like I said, I don't want it to become the hills of this season. Because 3 is a great number. It's a good number to leave on. And like I said, there might be a section in the finale, but we'll see. And I actually have something to say about that at the end of this episode. That's the plan. But with those things out of the way, John, do you hear the bells ringing? Do you though? Are you listening deeply with those prune juice ears of yours?
I hear bells pretty much 24/7. There might be a problem.
John has tinnitus. He can't get rid of it. But you guys read the title. You already know what's going on. There's no like secret here. There's no nothing. You already know what's going on. It's game show time. Cause I'm the game show guy. I just gotta quickly find the game show again cause I lost it. But I know what it is. So, but you might be wondering, how are game shows gonna work without the third guy? The simple answer is most of my game shows actually still work without the third guy. There's only one that was created specifically with both of them in mind. So that one I'll have to tweak just a little bit so that it's John versus me instead of John versus who the third guy was. But other than that, all of them kind of still work. It's just John's gonna get points, and I will tell him his points at the end. Not that it will matter, because he'll be the host anyway. But I'll still be able to tell him points. Because I don't know if we specifically said this, because I don't think this was ever really a question that got asked. And if it was, I didn't see it in time, for that one episode. In terms of points, we should still calculate points. Just because it's fun to hear how much points we would have got, right? Because the way it worked was the points, whoever got the most points would host the next episode. So that part is getting, that part's obsolete. But it'd still be nice to hear the points that we would get otherwise, you know what I mean? So for game shows, John's still going to get points. For even normal topics, John's still going to get points. The only thing I'm not giving points for, obviously, and I didn't even do this when the third guy was here, was the serious topic episodes. So outside of those, I think we're still going to be doing points, so don't worry about that. So, everyone, welcome to the Silent Nightmares game show. In this game show, by the way, this is going to say contestants over and over again, just envisioned it just as contestant, because John's the only contestant. But in this game show, the contestants will be placed in the middle of a raging zombie apocalypse, where basically the whole world is a zombie. Yet you are the lone survivor. There's a dollar store just south of your home base, and you're running out of supplies fast. Your only choice is to sneak through the horde of zombies and reach the store. The store is owned by a zombie, who has decided that violence is never the answer, and chooses to run the store as normal. His name is Jeff, and you must always refer to him as Jeff. You don't want to find out what happens if you don't. Your goal is to make it to the store safely and buy as much survival equipment as you possibly can. This game show is segregated into three parts. The stealth section, involves you sneaking around town trying to reach the store without alerting any attention. The store section, where you must use money management and survival strategies to buy stuff at the store for the coming battle. And finally, the battle section. This section has you going out of the store and fighting the horde that is surrounding your base. Survival is not guaranteed in this game, meaning any wrong move and the players could find themselves in a life or death situation. If you die, it's game over. Points are divided into three sections as well: zombies alerted, money left over, and zombie kills. Each point section refers back to the three sections of the game itself. In the stealth section of the game, you will lose 3 points for every zombie you alert. In the store section, if you have any leftover money, it will equate to 5 points per dollar left. And in the battle section, you will get 10 points for every zombie you manage to kill with your new equipment. There is 4 different endings that you can achieve in this game show. Each ending will award you with bonus points at the end. I will guide you through the whole process, but you will be on your own when it comes to survival. Good luck, and stay alive. So, John, Jeebin' Feebin', do you have any questions, comments, or concerns?
I have a concern if I die, like, immediately. Like, if I just, like, say, screw stealth, I'm gonna sprint screaming all the way to the store, and I die immediately, do we just end the podcast? Do we just, like, it's like, wrap it up early?
It's the shortest podcast ever. It's like a 20-minute, it's a 20-minute episode. No, so if you die, like, immediately, I'll throw in a free revive, I guess. But if you die at the very end, that's it. You die, you're done. And I'll just outline to you what you missed and that kind of thing. So you have free will in the sense that it's like a choose your own adventure style game. But it's really just think of like, so this is less choose your own adventure than the Dead Silence one was. You remember Dead Silence where you had free reign? Like, you didn't get to choose what rooms you were going into, but outside of that, you had free reign of hiding spots and, like, if you wanted to search the room and that kind of thing, what items you wanted to use, all that stuff. This one, it's just you get 2 choices per, like, junction, and then you might get another option here and there. You do have an inventory system, and I'll keep updated on that so you know what you have and what you don't. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, it's linear. It's more linear than the Dead Silence game show. So I almost like to liken it to like, you know, those text-based adventures, kind of like that, because it's very linear in that sense. But it's you still gotta have an inventory management system and like that kind of thing. So I was gonna say Telltale, but Telltale didn't have different endings. You just got the same ending no matter what you did. So whereas this is incorrect. There's 4 endings. 4 endings John can get here. I'm very curious to see which one he's gonna get. And honestly, based on how many games John's played, you can probably deduce what at least 2 out of the 4 of them are. But I hope he gets the one I'm looking at now. I hope he gets it. I don't think he will, because it's super, like, what's the word? Like, super hard to get and super, like, what's the word for, like, you're never going to figure it out? There's a word for that, but my brain's like, you don't have your prune juice, you're not going to figure it out. Obsolete's not the right word. I don't know why my brain's like,
obscure.
I knew it started with an O. So it's super obscure. So I don't know if he's gonna get it, but maybe he will. You never know. Yeah, so that's the plan. So let me just write quickly. Where's my thing? I might have to blow up the moon. The moon might have to go. While I pull this up real quick, have you seen those like videos where like it's like the moon woke up or whatever? It's terrifying.
No.
You haven't seen that? It's been all over the YouTube, man. It's like, I think it's just called The Moon Wakes Up, or like, I forgot, I think that might be what it's actually called. It's like, it feeds on like the whatever the phobia name is for like deep, like, that's not thalassophobia, that's like deep water or something. But you get the idea. Okay, so now that I have your inventory pulled up, which obviously has nothing in it right now because you just started. So,
I'm broke boy.
You're a broke boy. So here's the stealth section, John. So it's time to get moving. You only have supplies for 2 more days and you need to get to that store. Problem is, zombies have been surrounding the streets ever since your town turned into a wasteland. Leaving your safe house, you slowly venture out into town. All you have on your person is a knife, a baseball bat, and an empty gun, as well as $30 to your name. So, let me keep this in mind. So you have, so you're not a broke boy anymore. You have a knife. So knife. You have a bat, a baseball bat to be specific. Then you have an empty gun. So empty gun. And then you have, money, which I'm going to be putting in a separate thing. Which is 30 buckaroonies. Okay. As you brush past a few trees, you reach the road. On your left is an old barn. It's crawling with zombies, but hay bales and other farm equipment could act as cover. On your right is an old demolished gas station. The zombies don't seem interested in it, but there's glass shards everywhere, which could draw more attention. Which way do you go?
So, what's the deal with the barn? There's a lot of zombies over there?
Yeah, so the barn, where is it? It's crawling with zombies, but hay bales and other farm equipment could act as cover.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, if I know my zombie survival instincts, the glass shards will alert them if I step on them, right? So I'm going to Assassin's Creed style jump in the hay bales for cover and go to the barn.
All right, you're picking the barn. Let's do it. So you make your way to the old barn without getting in line of sight of any zombies. Using hay bales, old tractors, and stables, you manage to sneak your way past all the zombies and make it out safely. Nice job. At the next crossroads, you have a police station on the left and a hospital on the right. The police station may have leftover weapons or, at the very least, ammo and armor. But the hospital is bound to have medkits and healing supplies. Which way do you go?
I'm going to head towards the police station because guns kill zombies. And if I get bit, then I'll get infected, right? That's how it works.
Yeah.
But if I shoot the zombie in the face, it dies and I don't get bit, so... Gun's the way to go.
You know, I feel like that sentence could apply to anything. If you shoot something in the face, it's probably not going to bite you. So,
yeah, you're not wrong.
but you're going to the police station, though. That's what you're saying?
Indeed.
All right, let's do it. You decide to head towards the police station. Even though it may be further away, it could hold some potentially useful items. As you get to the police station, you realize that the door is locked from the inside. Previous survivors had locked themselves in to stay away from the horde. You resort to using a nearby brick to shatter the glass door and go inside. This, of course, sets off an emergency alarm that never got turned off thanks to the previous survivors. The alarm is so loud that it could be heard from miles away. You run inside looking for the alarm terminal. After several long seconds of searching, you finally find it. The alarm is acting as a beacon for the zombies since they are attracted to noise. So it would be in your best interest to disable the alarm as quickly as possible. Opening up the terminal, you see 2 wires, a red one and a purple one. Choose your approach. So you can cut the red wire or you can cut the purple wire.
You know, red wires usually go boom, from what I understand. This isn't a bomb, but it could still go boom. You know, maybe the survivors are insane and rigged the entire police station to explode. So I'm going to cut the purple wire.
Okay, so you're cutting the purple wire, got it. You're going to love the way this goes then. So you're cutting the purple wire. Your dad always taught you to never snip the red wires on a bomb. And while this isn't a bomb, you still want to follow the advice. You cut the purple wire with haste. As soon as the wire sniffs, silence fills the air. The alarm has been deactivated, and a new sound has drawn the attention of the zombies away from the station. With the coast being clear, you go into the back of the station and look around for any guns you could find. You don't find any guns, but you do manage to find ammo for the gun you are currently carrying. You find 2 mags. Put 1 mag in the gun and keep the second one in your pocket. You also found some spare cash lying around. So, you just earned $5 to your money, so you have 35 buckaroonies now. Let's see. 35 buckaroonies, you got 2, so you have 1. So your gun is no longer empty, so you have loaded gun now. So, loaded gun, and you have 6 rounds in it. Because that's 1 full mag. And then you also have a bonus mag, or extra mag, in your inventory as well. So, got some pretty good stuff there. By the way, in case you guys are curious, there's not going to be a part 2 to this game, because it's similar. So, I'm making a sequel to the Haunt, or to the Dead Silence game show, but it's a different game show, so that John can't get the same endings from the first one. I don't know if I'll make a second one of this, but either way, what I'm saying is, like, I'll read you guys the other options and, like, the other endings when we're done. So that way, you can get, so you get all the juicy content. Because if you want to find out what happened if John did cut the red wire, you will find that out. That's what I'm saying, basically. Okay. Now back on the streets, you are nearing the store owned by Jeff. Remember, just Jeff. Anyway, in order to get to the store, you need to go past a tattoo parlor or an old diner. The old diner might have supplies for food or even leftover money from the cash register, but the tattoo parlor could potentially hold one of Jeff's favorite items, a needle. Which way do you go?
Well, if I know Jeff from the short blurb you just said about him loving needles, I'm going to go to the tattoo parlor to get him a needle. Nice surprise for him.
All right. I like your style. You decide that getting on Jeff's good side might be a good idea. So you sneak past all the zombies and reach the parlor. Luckily, zombies don't seem to be that interested into tattoos this time of the year, so you don't need to sneak around as much. Looking around for the needles, you finally find one with a zombie face on it. How convenient. Right before you walk out, two raiders come from the shadows and point loaded guns at you. They're demanding you hand over everything you got, including weapons, money, armor, and everything else useful. Choose your approach. So you can shoot, or you can run.
Well, let's see. If I shoot, then the zombies will be alerted more than likely because that's how guns work. They're loud. And if I was a betting man, I would bet these raiders, since they were stealthily in the shadows, also know that. So they might not want to risk shooting me, so I'm just going to run.
Interesting, okay. So you decided that you need to run out of here before the things get nasty. So you turn around quickly and bolt for the exit. The raider starts shooting at you, and one of them actually manages to shoot you in the right leg. You shoot behind you to stall them for a while as you make your escape. The bullet is still lodged in your leg. You do manage to get away with the goods, but at what cost? So you lost 5 bullets, because you had to shoot them to get to distract them and go behind cover. So you not only have 1 bullet in your gun, but you still have the extra mag, so technically you have 7 bullets remaining. So not terrible. You could have died, so there's that. After all that walking, you finally reach the shop owned by Jeff. You walk inside and see Jeff staring at the door. A sign hangs above his head that says, "Say my name to be served." You look back at Jeff. What do you call him? So you have Jeff or Billy Bill Bob.
Well, given the fact that he hates being called anything other than Jeff, it's tempting to call him Billy.
He can't even say it.
The other one.
Billy Bill Bob.
Billy Bill Bob. But, you know, I want to get on his good side. I got him that needle, and it cost me a bullet in the leg, so I'm gonna call him Jeff.
It cost me a bullet in the leg. It's like the arrow in the knee thing. Okay, yep, so you're saying Jeff, though?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff's face lights up, and he greets you with a smile. He then points to the aisles of goods that he has to offer. So, welcome to the store section. You have finally made it to the store safely, so now it's time to buy some more survival equipment and some food if you can find any. The section involves money management and strategy since you know that a huge fight is coming. The store is divided into aisles as most stores are. However, unlike actual stores in real life, the aisles actually make sense. Here's the rundown of the aisles. So aisle A is canned goods, aisle B is water and drinks, aisle C is hardware tools, aisle D is discount clothes, and aisle E is guns and explosives. And there is a secret aisle, aisle F. So actually, let me just, since it's more convenient for you, actually, how long is this going to take me to do? If it takes a while, I might have to just blow up the sky. This guy will just no longer exist for anyone. And then it'll be over for everyone, really.
The small price to pay for it taking a little bit longer.
The small price to pay. Or, you know what I could do, honestly, is just, just become Thanos and get the gauntlet and just, you know, everyone's done for, you know what I mean? Because he snapped right. Once, but what happens if he snapped twice, you know what I mean? Like, it's just
the
over.
The fabled double snap.
Yeah, like, it's just over for everybody. Like, there's nothing you can do. Like, you're done.
Yeah.
So, because I think it'd be a lot easier if I give this to John so he can look at it, you know what I mean? Because looking at stuff is makes things a lot easier.
Indeed.
So I think I have it right here. Let's see. Yes, here it is. Okay, so what I'm doing for John is I'm giving him the aisles so that he can look at it in Discord and not be confused. So I don't have to repeat what aisle everything is, you know what I mean? I'm not sending him the what's in every aisle because that would take way too long. But so here is the aisles for you, John. So they're in the channel there. So those are your aisles. So which aisle? And you can, this is free reign. There's no time limit. There's no like turn segment because that'd be strange. So just go wherever you please.
Wow. I'm a curious person, and I want to see what's over there in aisle F.
Okay, aisle F only has one thing in it. It's golden cheese, and it costs $100.
I don't think I have that much money, so...
You do not. You have precisely $35, I think.
$35? Well, you know, if I'm gonna go out in a battle, I need some explosives, because as my idol and inspiration once said... there's never a problem I've faced that couldn't be solved with a bit of explosives. So that's where I'm going.
I like the quote, but who said that?
Markiplier.
Well, you didn't say the full quote then, because I recognized it, but I'm like, he's missing a couple words in there. So you want to go to aisle E then?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a bunch of things in here. There's a pistol with 10 mags in it. It costs $10. There's a revolver with 6 mags in it, which costs $10. There's a solid shotgun, which has 2 mags, which costs $12. There's an assault rifle, which has 36 mags, which costs $15. Grenades for $4, pipe bombs for $5, and a rocket launcher with only 1 mag for $25.
Okay. So I would say the grenades. I'll get 2 grenades. And
okay, so you want to get 2 grenades for $8, basically.
Indeed.
2 grenades. And that obviously leaves you with 27 buckaroonies, so still got some money to spend. Yes.
And how much was the rifle again?
The assault rifle? It's $15.
So that will leave me with $5 left. So I'll take it.
Wait, what's leaving you with $5?
$20?
No, you have $27.
Oh, I'm not good at math. And remember, so yes, I will take the rifle, and,
just to remind you,
I still have that needle.
You already have the, well, you gave it, well, yes, you do still have the needle. I'll check.
I'll give that to Jeff.
That is not something you can do right now. Unless you're ready to cash out, but I would not do that just yet.
What I need food or water for, you know, it's like, it's a fight, you know, I'm not going to be drinking during the fight.
You never know. Just to remind you, by the way, you still have your loaded gun, though. So do you want? You still want the rifle even with your loaded gun?
Yeah, because, you know, what if I run out? Yeah, I got a backup.
All right, that's fair. I'm not blaming you, I'm just saying. All right.
But I will go to the hardware tool, see if there's anything that might be there.
All right, no problem. Just to let you know, you have 12 buckaroonies left, so that's your that's your budget. So aisle, what is that? Aisle what? Aisle C. So we got a chainsaw, which requires gas, for $10. Hammer for $7. Bolt cutters for $9. Circular saw for $15, requires a battery. And then respectively, a battery is $2 and gas is $5.
Well, you see, if I remembered anything from my time playing Resident Evil, is the bolt cutters are always necessary. Because it's so crazy that like so many of those games, the bolt cutters are like a key item, so...
Uh-huh.
Those will probably come useful, and I'll get those.
Well, you should also probably like search around every other aisle first to make sure you don't want anything else.
You know, that's fair.
Because you can still buy it once you're done searching. But I was saying you only want to look at all your options first.
Yes, you know what? That's a fair point. I'm gonna head over to the discount clothes.
Discount clothes.
Get a fancy hat.
So this is, but in case you weren't aware, aisle D is armor. So, like, it's discount clothes, but it's going to act as armor, because depending on what you get, if they bite you, it won't, like, necessarily get you. So we got a helmet for $5, a hoodie for $5, a jeans for $5, Elite 4 shoes for $5, and a love charm for $15.
Interesting. I'll get the hoodie. It's good armor.
Hoodie? Okay. So now armor. So yeah, for armor, I'll just put. Well, you haven't put it on yet, but I'm just armor. I need to put. I forgot armor needs to be a separate section. Okay, so now you got hoodie. Perfect. You have $7 remaining, my friend. So Want to go somewhere? Want to go to a different aisle, or?
Yeah, so I'll check out the water and drinks. You know, maybe there's something good there.
All right, we got We got bottled water for $2, orange juice for $3, vitamin water for $3, iced coffee for $5, and prune juice for $6.
And how much money you got?
You got $7.
$7, man. Prune juice, like, could be useful, you know. I'll come back to that. Check out the canned goods, see if there's anything good there.
All right. We got canned veggies for $1, canned fruit for $2, canned tuna for $1, canned beef for $3, and canned shrimp for $4.
Well, I think the only logical thing to do is get the prune juice.
All right, you're getting prune juice? He's done the thing, ladies and gentlemen. He has gotten the prune juice. All right. So that is, you're left with $1, and I mean, you could buy something for $1. Did you want to just buy a food item for $1?
You know what? Some canned fruit for $1, that sounds good.
Well, canned fruit was $2. The only thing you can buy is canned veggies. Or you can buy canned tuna.
I gotta get the veggies.
You have tuna too, canned tuna.
Oh, I'll get the veggies.
Veggies, okay. Did you hate tuna, John? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
How dare you? All right, canned veggies. All right, it's mixed veggies too, so you get all of them. All right, so you are now officially out of money, so you're ready for checkup. With the items in your basket, you approach Jeff at the cash register. Make sure you are ready before you continue. If so, you place your items on the counter and watch as Jeff ever so slowly scans them. The scanner doesn't even work. He just believes it does. But you wouldn't want to upset poor Jeff now, would you? No, I don't think so. Jeff tells you your total. You carefully take the zombie needle that you got from the tattoo parlor out of your pocket and hand it to Jeff. His eyes would be beaming at you, if he actually had eyes. But either way, you see, you can sense Jeff's excitement. As a thank you gift, Jeff applies a 50% discount to your cart. So, you're not left with a dollar anymore, my friend, because you have $15 left. So, did you want to go back to shopping?
I'll quickly grab the bolt cutters that I said that might be useful.
Okay.
Go grab those.
Bolt cutters it is. Oops, I did not mean to do it. Okay. A bolt cutter. So, yeah, that's what you got. That's what you get for having the needle. You hand Jeff the money and exit the store. Jeff is very excited to have more money. And now onto the battle section. You have reached the battle section, the final challenge before the end of this game show. The horde in town has grown bigger and stronger, and all the zombies are surrounding your base. It's up to you to kill all the zombies and get to your base safely. Use any weapons you may have to kill zombies, use any clothes you brought for extra defense, and use any other items for distractions, energy, or extra health. Let's see. As you exit the store, you see at least 100 zombies surrounding your base at the end of the road. You take the pistol and shoot a couple rounds in the air to get the zombies' attention. It's killing time. The horde of zombies start to march towards you. What weapon do you use first? So, here's your choices for inventory, John. You can use guns, use melee, use explosives, use food/drinks, or use clothes. Use clothes/stall is your options.
And, do I have the hoodie on, or is it just like...
No, you're just holding it.
Okay, well, you know, I might as well put that on me, so that I get some protection.
Okay, so you put on the clothes you bought. They feel nice. +10 defense. So, the zombies draw closer. Choose your next approach. So, same options again.
And, you know, people always say you want to end out with a bang, but I see it opposite. You got to start out with a bang, and so I use explosives.
Alright, you launch a round of explosives at the horde. As the zombies walk near it, it explodes and kills many zombies. The few that remain scatter, making future bombs not as effective. -45 zombies. So you just killed 45 zombies with one grenade. But, like it's just said, the few that remain scattered, so it's gonna make them less effective. They will still work, but they'll be less effective. So, same options again, man.
Oh, and I'll go with the guns.
Oh wait, I skipped a thing. Right? The horde is approaching on your position. You don't want them reaching you. Choose your last approach.
Yeah, well, this is where I go with the rifle, and just shoot them good.
Shoot them good. All right, you shoot every last round you have into the remaining horde. You kill off a majority of them, but a few stragglers remain. -35 zombies. So not too bad. All right. You have done enough, my friend, because you got the survivor ending, +25 points for getting that ending. You survived the massive horde of zombies and made your way back to your home base. You also gathered enough food to survive for a few more days. So there you go. There we go. So John got the survivor ending. That's the most common ending. I mean, that's, you know, it makes sense, and he did good, so he got that. So now, since John's done, officially done, John, you want to know your points? So you obviously won the episode, but I'm gonna go over the extra content, like the different choices you could have made, the different endings, and there's even some like secrets in here. But do you want to know what your total points was?
Indeed.
You got a whopping, a glorious, a tremendous, a beautiful 86 points. So there you go. That 25 points was for the ending, and then all those points racked up from not alerting any zombies, because John really didn't alert any zombies in his stealth playthrough. And then the store section, he was left with $2. So, you know, that converted to 5 points each, which equals 10 points, so you get the idea. So he racked up a lot of points. So 86 points, pretty good, pretty good. Now to go over the different choices. So, John, like I said, it's linear in the sense that, like, there's only really two options per thing, so let's go over each of those. So John went to the barns. Let's see what would have happened if he went to the gas station. Now, John, some of these different options lead into different options, so we're going to play as if you chose this option anyway. So gas station, you decided to make your way to the gas station. After all, there's not many zombies there anyway. After crawling your way through broken glass, you accidentally knock over a shelf in the gas station, which makes a huge crashing sound. The sound, of course, attracts a horde of zombies nearby. As the zombies draw close, you start to run out of options. So choose your approach. So you have option one, attack, or option two, hide. What would be your first choice, John?
Well, you know, hide, probably, because if it's a whole horde, and I at this point, all I had was a baseball bat and a knife, so I would have hid.
Right, okay. Alright, so you would have hit. So you try and move as quietly as possible to the back of the gas station and hide in the storage closet. The zombies walk up to the gas station, but upon further inspection, they find nothing and walk back to their spot. This gives you an opportunity to quietly leave the gas station undetected. If you had chosen attack, you lunge out from the gas station and start attacking the horde with the few weapons you had. All this noise attracts even more zombies to your location, causing a massive horde to form. This forces you to run away and seek shelter from the growing horde. And then the items used, you use both the knife and the wooden bat, so you lose both of those items when you do that. So you would have been literally left with just an empty gun, and that's it. And then between the police station and the hospital, John chose a police station. Let's see what happens if you went to the hospital. Let's see. Where did I put that? Oh, I think I accidentally deleted it. It's fine. It doesn't matter. So good thing John didn't pick hospital, because that wouldn't have worked. I think I had edited it and I didn't like it or something, and I think I deleted it and was gonna redo it, but then I forgot to redo it. It's fine. So screw that one. But between, or was it, yeah, no, it was police and hospital, right? It wasn't tattoo parlor, it was with the diner.
Yeah.
So with the tattoo parlor and the diner, John chose the tattoo parlor because he wanted the needle for Jeff. But let's say he tricked the old diner. The old diner must have something good in it, right? Surely no one has taken the money that used to be in the cash register. You make your way inside the old diner, only to see a ton of zombies in the kitchen. You need to somehow get the cash out of the register without alerting the zombies. You could draw a distraction by throwing something into the back freezer, making the zombies go over there, or you could try to blow up the diner. Choose your approach. So, John, what would your first choice be? Distraction or blow up diner?
Well, I am a fan of blowing up diners.
Of course.
But I think the distraction is the way to go.
Alright, distraction. So, distracting the zombies was probably the best idea. After all, it would allow you to gather supplies and the money from the register. You grab a plate of leftovers and throw it as hard as you can into the back freezer. The plate breaks in many pieces and draws the zombies' attention. You quickly and quietly open the cash register and take the money that's left inside. It wasn't much, but it's something. You then take a spare grenade that's lying on a table and leave before the zombies realize something is amiss. So you gain $10 and a free grenade. So there you go. If John had chosen the blow-up diner, there was a grenade lying on one of the tables. A raider must have come and left it there after being attacked. All you knew was, it was yours now. You grab the grenade and sneak into the supply closet to turn the gas on. You sneak back to the entrance of the diner and pull the pin and release. You then throw it into the kitchen right next to the glass stove. Or to the gas stove, not glass stove. You bolt out of the diner, awaiting the inevitable destruction. As a few seconds go by, the grenade explodes, causing a chain of explosions in the kitchen, lighting the whole diner ablaze. Minus 10 zombies in the battle section. So that would have killed 10 zombies in the battle section. Mm-hmm. But you didn't get any money or any free weapons out of it. Then if John with the choice of Jeff or Billy Bill Bob, John obviously chose Jeff, which was the blatantly correct choice. But let's see what would have happened if John had chosen Billy Bill Bob. Jeff's face turns a solid red as he slowly grabs something from underneath the counter. You start to wonder what he's grabbing when it's too late. He pulls out a shotgun and shoots you in the head, killing you instantly. And this is obviously what ends a player. So, good thing John didn't do that. So there you go. Jeff's very particular about what you call him. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's see. So, and then in the shopping section is very interesting. The shopping section actually relates a lot to the endings, which I'll get to later. But let's say John didn't have enough money to buy any of the stuff he got. Cause John could have, like, just threw a bunch of things in his cart without having the money for it. So if John didn't have enough money, this is what would have happened. You hand Jeff the money and thank him before leaving the store. You give Jeff all the money you got. After he counts it, he realizes that you just tried to steal from Jeff. How could you? Stealing from someone like Jeff? You should be ashamed of yourself. But luckily, you don't have to be ashamed for long. Jeff pulls out a 22 Magnum and shoots you in the head. And that's the end of the player again. So, don't steal from Jeff. That's unacceptable. So I don't know what you were expecting to happen there. So let's see. So there's a couple of secret items in the store that John could have bought. Now, obviously we're all wondering what the golden cheese does, and I'll get to that in a second. But one of the things that John could have done is he could have bought the love charm plus all of the clothes. And if he had done that, this would have happened. You put the love charm around your neck. Your heart starts to be faster and faster. Out of nowhere, a meteor strikes down in the horde and kills them all. You walk to your base safe and sound, questioning your life choices. So, that's what would have happened if John had chosen the love charm plus all the clothing items. So he would have had to buy all of those. And it's time for the golden cheese. Let's see, I want to make sure this doesn't relate to... Okay, yes. Okay, so this is what happens if John bought the golden cheese. Now, you're probably wondering, how do you get $100? Like, how does that happen? So, the way you get $100 is you have to do this exact path. So John did the, barn, which, is fine, because that doesn't necessarily lead anything. So either of the first options would have worked. I mean, he could have lost his weapons if he'd done the gas station part incorrectly, but that part doesn't really matter. If you cut the purple wire in the gas station, or, sorry, not the gas station, in the police station, then you go to the old diner, steal the $10, and then you go to, and then the way, so that leaves you with 50. And then, if you get the needle, as well, so actually you have to go to the tattoo lawyer, not the diner, because you can't get the needle if you go to the if you go to the old diner. But if you shoot the bandits, oh, I didn't even do that option, by the way. If you shoot the bandits, pull out your gun as quickly as possible and shoot them in the head. Use 3 bullets, but you're safe. You look at what the raiders had on them, and they had a few knickknacks, a few bucks, and a few other miscellaneous things. You take the money and head out of the parlor. So that gives you $5. So either way, it adds up to 50. And if you get the needle for Jeff, which you already did by going to the tattoo parlor, he gives you the 50% discount, which changes the $100 price tag to $50, and you have to use all your money to buy the golden cheese. So that's how you get the golden cheese. And this is what happens if John managed to do that. Like I said, this was super obscure. I never thought he was going to get it, but if he did, I was going to be super happy. But the cheese in your pocket starts emitting a strong golden hue. You pull it out of your pocket and shine it in the sky. The golden ray of light cuts through the dark sky. The zombies look up in the sky with amazement. They all start walking towards you and bowing down. You start to realize what's happening. The zombies are bowing down to you. You continue to hold the cheese in the air, the light continuing to shine. The dark sky becomes filled with light. The zombies now submit to you, and you are their leader. You are crowned the Zombie King, and every faction in the broken world fear your name. You raid, attack, and kill anyone that gets in your way. You create a mansion on the highest hill you can, and the highest hill you can find, and house the zombies' army you have gathered. The world is now over, and you are the last one standing. And this would have given John plus 50 points for getting that. And that's not even the ending thing. John gets even more points at the end. That's plus 50 points for just getting the golden cheese section. So there's that. And then during the battle scene, there's a couple different things you could do. So think of like Undertale, where if you keep doing things repeatedly, you get extra dialogue and stuff. So let's say John wanted to use clothes slash stall every time. So use clothes slash stall, you put on nice, whatever. You close us, though, you put on more clothes for extra defense. And you close us, you put on an additional pair of clothes on for extra defense. As the zombies close in, you're forced to run right past all of them and back to your base. Thanks to all the defense you put on, you weren't bitten. So it's just kind of like, that's a way to survive, but you don't actually kill any zombies. So John would have literally got no points for that. Let's say he wanted to use guns three times. You shoot at the horde of zombies, killing a couple in the process. The horde was too far away to do any major damage, minus 10 zombies. You shoot into the horde once again. Luckily, the zombies are closer this time, so your accuracy is better, minus 20 zombies. And you use guns three times. You shot every last round you had into the zombies, so that's what John did. And then use melee. John never bought any melee weapons, nor did he use his melee weapons. But so this is what would happen. You pull out your weapon, but the zombies are too far away. So that would have been a useless attack. You kill some of the zombies that were leading the pack, so minus 10 zombies. And then melee 3. Now that the zombie horde is closer, you can attack them with your melee weapon. You slice through most of the horde, making your way to the base, minus 50 zombies. So that would have done that. And then use explosions three times. So John already launched the first explosion, so I'm not going to read that again. Or no, he did it the second time. So you launch your explosive at the horde of zombies, but you couldn't throw far enough, so it lands on the road. So it would have been a useless first attack. John did the second one, but let's see what if he did the third time. You throw all of your explosive at the horde, killing all of them. So you would have killed literally every single zombie if John had just used his second grenade that he bought. But there's that. And then food and drinks. You eat/drink your goods. You have been fueled up for the battle, plus one hit point. And then if you've done it again, you continue to eat, drink. Congrats, you wasted time. And then food three. You eat a cheesesteak as a zombie slowly tear the flesh from your bones. And then you die. If John had just, like, let's say he just threw a grenade in the air, and then he drank his prune juice, then he ate his canned vegetables, he would have just died eating the canned vegetables. Oh, it would have been really funny. That's how that works. But so John got the survivor ending, and then of course there's the dead ending. You died, you lost points. John would have lost 25 points if he had died. So there's that. Then we got the love meteor ending. A mysterious force killed all the zombies for you. This shows that love always prevails. So that was with the love charm plus all the clothes. And then we got the golden cheese ending, which would have given you 100 points if you had gotten it. So let me read it for you. You did it. You are the king of the zombies. You can now sit on your throne knowing you killed everyone on Earth. But who's really in charge? Is it you? Or is it the cheese? After all, the cheese was the power that granted you the title of king. If anything, the cheese deserves the crown more than you do. In fact, the cheese thinks you should be executed for your crimes. The cheese controls the... I can't say that without laughing. The cheese controls the zombies into creating a guillotine and placing it in the middle of the manor. The cheese forces you into it and publicly executes you in front of all the zombies you gathered. The cheese furrows its brow. Its work is done. The earth has been captured and every living creature has been killed. But the cheese wasn't satisfied. The cheese wanted more. It wanted more power. It wanted more death. The cheese knew that the zombies had to go. It needed to erase the world of its impurities. And so it did just that. The cheese created a nuclear bomb the size of the entire country of Russia and launched it. The cheese grinned as the Earth's core exploded into a million pieces. The cheese, with its newfound victory, headed into the depths of space looking for more planets to conquer. So that was the golden cheese ending. So if John had got that first try, I would have lost my crap. Because that would have been amazing. But John would have got 100 points for that. If he had gotten that. So, John, what do you think of the golden cheese ending, man?
To be fair, like there wasn't too many choices that was like super far off from it, because I think the only one that could have gotten me more money was if I shot the raiders instead of running.
Yeah, there was that, and there was mostly just that. Yeah.
If I could have gotten it, but if I just decided to have some murder. And that goes to show that murder is the answer.
It goes to show that if you find a golden cheese, you gotta just back away from it, because it's gonna furrow its brow and like publicly execute you for your crimes. So you know. So that is the end of the game show. That is all the different choices John can make. Like I said, I don't know what happened to the hospital thing. I know it was here originally, but when I was making the game show, I didn't like how the hospital section worked, so I deleted it and was going to change it, and then I guess I just never got to it. But it's fine, because Josh didn't choose that anyway. So, there you go. But that's going to do it for this episode, guys. John, do you want a winner speech for getting 86 points, man?
I mean, you know, 86 points, it's not a bad number. It's one off in the Bite of 87, so...
Was that the Bite of 87?
But, yeah, I mean, what do you think about the game show overall?
It was quite enjoyable. I liked it. I like these style of game shows, because it's, you know, you got some problem solving. You got to think things through logically. And... It's pretty good.
And you got to go shopping. That's part of it, too.
I did get to go shopping, so...
And you got to meet Jeff. How was your experience with Jeff?
Jeff, you know he's pretty chill. Jeff, as long as you don't be a dick, Jeff will be a good ally, so... Pretty cool.
That's fair. But, yeah, that's gonna do it for us, guys. So thank you guys so much for listening. We hope provoked a conversation, made you laugh along the way. You can find me over on YouTube at FlabDexy Gaming. I'm doing a lot of stuff over there. I don't know if I'm uploading currently at the moment, but we still got, like, 1,800 episodes for you to go watch over there. From gaming stuff to reviews that I do, so all that good stuff. To, like, specialty series that I take my pride into working on, so a lot of fun stuff over there. And speaking of fun stuff, if you want some super fun stuff, you can head over to John's Twitch and or YouTube's. You can find him on Twitch and YouTube at Jeevan's Feevan's respectively. And he has a VOD channel, Jeevan's Feevan VODs. I personally find myself watching that a lot because I love watching the past streams of the games that we played together and that kind of thing, because I like doing it. He, of course, has his main YouTube channel as well. So if you want to watch the cut-down versions, or sometimes there's things that are exclusive to one or the other, so you can go check those out. And you can find us as a group, as a podcast, on X and Instagram at, so X is Provokers Pod, and Instagram is the Provokers Podcast Official. We post, like, updates over there, a lot of fun stuff. Project Green Signal is still being worked on. I have a really special thing that's going to be happening pretty soon. John knows about it. Well, he knows a piece of it. But the special thing's going to be happening where I'm going to be getting some more guest stars on the show. So it's going to be fun. We're really doing a lot of fun stuff, and you could be the first to know about it if you go follow us on those social media platforms. So, you can go find us over there. And then, of course, we still got Patreon. Patreon has a bunch of stuff. We have the tiers. The more you spend, the more you get, obviously. But we also have extended cuts, which allow you to kind of get a little bonus content. You like bonus content? The first five are like $3, so I can kind of dip your toes in and see if you like it. If you don't, then it's $3. But if you do like it, the rest become $5, so that way you can kind of be like, ooh, I like this. I'm gonna keep getting some. And it does obviously support us, and we would be very grateful for it. So, but that's gonna do it. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.